Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi welcomes you to our new podcast series. If you'd like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.
Active breathing is always a little complicated.
You want to approach something that you know well freshly. You want to approach it like it's something new, like it's something different. But we know, I mean, we're about to approach the glory days of Yosef. Yosef is going to ascend to become Mishnah Melech, but we know it's not going to turn out so well a couple hundred years for the Jews. So right now, things are looking up for Yosef, and he's eventually going to bring his brothers down to Egypt, and it looks like things are going well. But in the back of our minds, we who've read the story over and over and over again know that there are actually storm clouds far, far off in the distance, but they're not where we are right now. Yosef, if you think about it, at least what I think about it, he seems to be like, he did it. He's a quintessential modern Orthodox Jew. Yosef, Esther, Daniel. Yosef is the first one, but there's a series of Jews in Tanakh who will have, like we do, have two names. He's going to have a Jewish name. And the Psukim say that Yosef when God has told you all this, you are it. You're brilliant. You're the Einstein. You're the Freud. Right? Even like, you know, Lara, you're the Marx. Right? You are the brilliant Jew who's done everything. Just look around. I forgot. I just read some crazy statistic from years ago. The number of Nobel Prize winners who were Jews and the number of chess masters who are Jews. In Russia, it seems like they rank children from a young age by this whole hierarchy of chess. And when you get, it's like from 0 to 12, 1 to 12 or something like that. And when you get to rank 9, it's like 60% were Jews in the 80s. 60% of the best players of chess in the Soviet Union, and remember, the Soviet Union were pretty good chess, were Jews. We're good. Fine. Atatiel Beitiv Alpicha, you're going to go to Wall Street. You're going to go to the White House. You're going to be elected to great positions. Rak only my throne will be a little higher than you, but you got it. He took off his ring, he gave it to him. And he gave him these fancy clothes. And he put a, you know, we've all seen them. If you've seen them really, like I've been to the British Museum where they stole them from Egypt, or you've been maybe to the Metropolitan Museum where they borrowed them from the ones that were stolen from Egypt, or you've just seen pictures of them. Not stolen by Europeans. So you get this beautiful golden thing. You're going to look like an Egyptian. Not only that, we're going to give you a non-Jewish your second name, as we've mentioned. And we know Chazal say that his wife was actually the child of Dinah, right? So it stays in the family. But at first blush, when you just read the Torah, it sounds like he got a non-Jewish trophy wife. He's doing really well. Now, you know, look around for a second. Look around. We're all doing it. I'm doing it too. We're all wearing our common clothes, whatever they are that are popular today, right? And our popular shoes. And many people will be in their popular businesses. And many people will, who knows, in this room, there might be even someone who's going to ascend to the throne in some country or other, right? We're all trying to, like, navigate into that modern Orthodox world. And Yosef didn't forget God. He's not like Esther, who kind of hides a little bit. Right? He's not as great as Daniel, who, you know, puts God in the forefront. But Yosef mentions God all the time, and even his ascension is because of God. So he's there. But let me tell you something. Rav Shlomo Hirsch, I mentioned this to some people. Rav Shlomo Hirsch This is in his in a Tshuvot Mamad Hoel by Radot Tzvi Hoffman. In a Tshuvot, Radot Tzvi Hoffman was a rabbi in Germany, and he went to Rav Hirsch's school. Rav Hirsch, so in Frankfurt, had a high school. I don't know, it's like the Frisch or the SAR of Germany, of Frankfurt. It really was, right? And Radot Tzvi Hoffman was a more traditionalist rabbi at the time, and he went to go visit Rav Hirsch. I think he taught in the school eventually. Eventually he went to the Hillsheider Seminary in Berlin. By the time he went to Frankfurt, and he met Rav Hirsch, and he goes in, and they're walking around the school, very pretty grounds, it's wonderful, Frankfurt, on the river, it's beautiful. And Radot Tzvi Hoffman, according to the Tshuva, goes to go see the principal, the secular studies principal. Rav Hirsch's school had a secular studies principal. They had a Jewish studies principal and a secular studies principal. So he goes to go see the principal, and Rav Hirsch turns to him. This isn't a Tshuvot, it was excised. It was censored out of some of the Tshuvot. Right? But it's really there. I have a newer edition which they put it back in. Right? But there's a classic edition where they covered over this tshuva in the Mamad Hoel so you wouldn't know about it. Right? I'll tell you why. Because Rav Hirsch turns to Radot Tzvi Hoffman and says, take your kippah off. So this rabbi, Radot Tzvi Hoffman, is accompanying this rabbi, Rav Hirsch. You probably all have heard of Hirsch. You might not have heard of Radot Tzvi Hoffman, but you should have. But he's going to go see the principal, and Rav Hirsch tells Radot Tzvi Hoffman, take your yarmulke off, because it's not polite to go see a non-Jew wearing your yarmulke. So Radot Tzvi Hoffman, a little startled, takes his kippah off, and he goes to see the secular studies principal, because that was dignified. Years later, we know the dignity, you know, Seth Rogen, you ever heard of Seth Rogen? You've never heard Radot Tzvi Hoffman, you heard of Seth Rogen, right? Seth Rogen, he's Canadian. He's not from the U.S. He's Canadian. So I heard Seth Rogen once say, someone said to him something about being Jewish or something. He says, listen, this is a bit, I apologize for the, but the thing was apt. He goes, listen, I wear a bris on my face. You can't hide. You go on the internet. You can't hide. People put little circles around their names. You can't hide. You can take your keep off and go see a secular studies principal, but you can't hide. You can put the golden band on, right? And Yosef Hatzadik. Yosef, when he was challenged with the wife of Potiphar, according to Chazal, saw the picture of his father. His entire past was there. And now look what he says, right? He didn't sin with Potiphar's wife because he saw the picture of his father. But when he has children in Egypt, he's challenged, as we're all challenged. Before the famine came, he had two kids that his wife, Osnat bat Potiphar, had given him. V'ikra Yosef et shem b'chor Menashe, ki nashani Elohim et kol amaliv et kol beit avi. Because God has made me forget kind of the suffering, the labors, and the past of my house. He thought for an instant he could forget it. But we are the omniscient readers. We know. He's now Asnat Paneach. He's now the Mishta Lamelech. Even though he's going to save his brothers, and he is a tzaddik. But listen to this, okay? We're going to read it in a few weeks. Listen to this. V'yakam melech hadash ha-mitzrayim. There's eventually going to arise another foreign king, a king. Rashi says, some people say it was a different king, a different paro. Some people say it was the same paro, just he caused himself to have amnesia. Listen to the words. Asher lo yada, not asnat paneach. But what? You all know it. Asher lo yada et Yosef. That was his name in Egypt. But my God, it was his name because it was never going to be forgotten. You can take your kippah off when you're working on Wall Street and they're going to know you're a Jew. Right? It doesn't matter. And Yosef, Hatzadik, still remembered God. He never forgot God. When his brothers came, he played that whole thing because the Ramban says, because of the dreams, right? But he never forgot God. Hannah Arendt, I think it was Hannah Arendt, if I'm wrong, someone will correct me. Hannah Arendt, the political philosopher, complained about the Holocaust, and she said the Jews forever, I believe it was Hannah Arendt, have always made a mistake. They've always banked on, they've always tried to create vertical relationships. They always tried to work with the king, inspire. In the First Crusade, they paid off the bishop. They were always hoping the political leader would be the one to save them. And they made a mistake, as the Cossack rebellion demonstrates so brutally. They didn't make horizontal relationships. So Hannah Arendt said, if only you reached out to the non-Jewish world, not up, but broadly, and made relationships with all the people around, it'd be okay. But you know what happened in Egypt eventually? It was Yosef saved the world. He saved the world, and Paro forgot Yosef. At the end of the day, it came back. How many times have the Jews saved the world? We're a tiny, tiny people, right? The Abarbanel was the financial advisor to five kings. Five kings in Portugal and in Spain. Again, saving the economy, helping them out. It didn't save the Jews in 1492 when they kicked them out. It didn't. So Yosef rises to the throne. And he's not going to forget God. But it's complicated. Our lives as people trying to balance between modernity and Judaism, between Torah and the other world, it's complicated. And we can't hide. So what happens? Some people decide they're going to hide. They prefer the secular world, and they join the Seleucids, they join the Hellenists, and they embrace the world and say, we can be just like there and it'll all be okay. And come the Hashmonaim, and they say, this will not work. You cannot bank on it. At the end of the day, the Maccabees knew there'd be a Holocaust. Maybe the Holocaust wouldn't happen now, right, in 160 BCE. Maybe it'll happen in, 1940. But they understood. Yehuda Maccabee, Yehuda, right? I know their descendants are going to lose those names. And they fall apart. Right? They try and embrace the world and they fall apart. Hanukkah is so battered today. If you open up the internet, everyone and their brother is trying to say what Hanukkah is about. Oh, Hanukkah is about world peace. It's all about pluralism. It's all about expressions of religion. There are even those people now who are making a whole thing about how it's about oppression of various peoples. Let's light a candle every night and talk about how evil the Israelis are. Hanukkah is about one thing. You just read Sefer Maccabim. It's about the fact that the Jews have a right to be in Eretz Yisrael. They have a right to live in Eretz Yisrael. How? As Jews. Yehudah. We maintain the name of Yehudah. Yehudah is the one name that has God's name in it as well. Right? Yehuda Maccabee, whether it be Yehuda who's going to save the Jewish people by taking them to Mitzrayim and dealing with his brother. But the one thing is perhaps you can try and hide, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to light the candles outside your house because you're the only ones who are going to do it. Have a Freilich and Hanukkah.
From all of us at Yeshiva Eretz Tzvi, thank you for listening to our new series. If you would like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.